Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember the last time I saw my grandmother cry. It was June 7th, 2014. Although she could not articulate it in this way, this was the day that she had come to the realization that she would not be returning to her hometown or her church where she had spent all 82 years of her life, except for the previous 2 months. She would not return to the sweet little apartment that she left in the wee hours of the morning just 2 months prior to be taken to the hospital for difficulty breathing. She would never again drive to the Dollar Tree or to the Carolina Mudcats Stadium or to Belk Department Store. I think worst of all for her was that she knew she would be leaving her beloved children and grandchildren and her last remaining sister behind. Death was inching closer and closer for her with each passing day, and she knew it. It was deeply painful for her, and it was heart-rending for us to watch her and see her so troubled. Even though no one can fully comprehend the depth and breadth of Jesus' troubled soul or his suffering, having journeyed through my grandmother's experience with her, I have a brief glimpse of what Jesus may have been experiencing when he spoke these words in today's gospel text. Now my soul is troubled. We are in the final days leading up to Holy Week. In today's text, Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations, and upon receiving a request to meet with some of the Greeks who were in the crowd, Jesus seized this moment to speak his final public words. After many occasions of Jesus telling his mother and his brothers and all of his followers that his hour had not yet come, on this day, Jesus began by announcing that the hour had come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The time that his entire life had been focused on and that he had been preparing for was now a reality. It sounds strange for us to describe Jesus to describe his death as being glorified. But Jesus spoke of himself like a grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying in order to bear much fruit. And he reminded people again of the cost of following him. You must lose your life in order to save it. Those who want to serve Jesus must follow him. Those who want to follow Jesus must go where he goes and do what he does, and not just in life, but in death as well. In other words, for Jesus and for all of those who follow him, death yields life. After all of this, Jesus then declared, "Now my soul is troubled." The Greek word used here for troubled indicates agitation and disturbance. Jesus, who was fully human, was experiencing similar emotions that any one of us might experience at our impending death. His earthly ministry was ending, as were the close relationships he had with his mother and his brothers, his family and friends, and all of his disciples. His death was becoming very real, and he knew what he must go through before the Father could be glorified. Betrayal by one close to him, mockery, insults, contempt, rejection, shame, humiliation, a criminal's death on a cross, and separation from the face of God. Jesus knew he would endure horrendous suffering and a brutal death. And it was for this reason that he had come to this hour. He didn't suffer for his own sake, but for the sake of others. He died so that the fullness of God's love and God's promises could be known by all people. He knew that what appeared to be foolishness and weakness and defeat in the eyes of the world was and is God's immeasurable love and strength and victory over sin and death for all people. Being a follower of Jesus means that we don't just follow him in his life, but we follow him in his death as well. We are called to follow him to the cross and stay there with him until his death. We're called to witness his suffering, his agony and pain, to watch the blood and sweat ooze from his mangled body. We hold our breath as we see him struggle to carry his cross, and we grimace at the final push of the thorn of crowns onto his head. We want to close our eyes during this scourging and place our hands over our ears while the nails are pounded into his hands and his feet. We feel the ground shift as his body is lifted up from the earth. All of that for all of us. And perhaps now our souls are troubled. And we don't like it when our souls are troubled. We so often do what we can to avoid the troubledness or ignore it, or at the very least get through whatever it is as quickly and as painlessly as possible. And if we're being completely honest with ourselves, as people of the resurrection, we don't like to dwell on Jesus' death. We want to skip Good Friday and go straight to Easter. But we need to resist this temptation. We need to look up the hill to Golgotha and see Jesus on the cross, to witness his pain and agony and the suffering that he experienced. We cannot avoid pain or death, Jesus's or our own. Death was real for Jesus, and it is and will be real for us. No wonder our hearts are greatly troubled. But the good news is that in Christ, God became fully human in order to show us how much God loves us. Jesus is our Emmanuel, and in and through him, God is fully and completely with us. We know all too well that our human condition is one of sin and brokenness. And God loves us so much that God entered as deeply as possible into that brokenness, even to the point of death. And in doing so, Jesus shows us that not even death can stop God's love for us. God's love is stronger than death. As followers of Christ, we know that death does not have the last word. Death does not have the victory. However, for the remaining days of our Lenten pilgrimage, and into Holy Week, as we journey with Jesus to the cross, to his death, let us not skip ahead to Easter just yet. Let us dwell with him at the cross and ponder in our hearts and minds all that his death means for us and for the world. Because God's limitless and unending love for us and for all people is most fully revealed on the cross of Christ. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.